Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego.
What's the name of this column, Christian?
Sunday morning quarterback. No, it's not.
Sunday morning quarterback in America.
What, it's Monday morning quarterback in America.
No, he doesn't even do that anymore.
The first time.
The conclusion of the Red Sox season brings the departure of a legend.
We'll be in touch, and we'll see you on the West Coast and here when you come back for the Legends Box.
Yeah, you guys, it's in my heart, man. I carry this place with me.
And perhaps the departure of a leader.
The city, the baseball here in general, it's tough to beat.
And it's Lions Week. Which really means it's Dan Campbell week.
I don't think we're going to be able to do it, but I would love to literally just have a pet lion. Just a legit pet lion on a chain, a big-ass chain, and he really is my pet.
Lou Merlone.
I like strange. Like, I want to see Tyquan Thornton, you know, bench. That's a nice job.
Christian Fourier.
So what? I snuck into a Panda Express. Now you know I'm a good football player.
Megan Ottolini.
Say my name.
So, wait.
Jack Jones.
It's Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on Boston Sports Original.
Man, that was weird. Triggered!
W-E-E-I.
Well, happy Thursday, everybody. What do you say, Foyer?
Hello, Lou.
What do you say, Mego?
What's going on?
So, what's going on? So we got a football game on Sunday. Foyer's dying over there.
What is
you
happening
okay?
to you?
I'm good.
He still doesn't get the whole cough button.
No.
You know what?
I got that head turn. You didn't even hear that.
I
didn't
hear that.
I didn't get it at all.
I totally went, oh! All right, listen, we got football on Sunday, but we want to start with the Red Sox, who ended their season last night. 78-84, your Boston Red Sox.
Right.
Mm. 2022 Boston Red Sox. It's really sad when you look at it. 86 wins is what it took to get into the postseason. 86 wins. This team sucked all year long. They're 8 wins off.
I would say that this is a weird season because I feel like everyone wanted it to be over like around, you know, the All-Star game. I just feel like there was just, let's just end it. It's like, all right, stop. If you're like video games and you don't get a good start and you just want to press reset just because, you know, screw it. I want to start all over again.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through the exercise of learning my lesson. Let's just start all over again. I mean, honest to God, I felt that way since the midseason. Like, I'm so happy it's over. I was so happy it was over.
8-19 in July.
They wanted it to be over,
they
too.
They went 20-6 in June. It was one of the best months the organization's had in the history of the organization. And then they went 8-19 in July, and that ended the year. And like you said, at that point, you're like, okay, forget it. You've had one good month. I'm done.
That was it.
Yeah, it was it.
In retrospect, I feel like the most fun that we had all season was when Chris Sale lost his mind on the TV in Worcester.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow, I feel like I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Sale losing his mind.
We did a whole show on that pretty much.
Yeah. But should he pay back the? Should he? Did he? Was he? What was he?
Did he embarrass himself?
Did he have
himself?
The right to do it? Is that just what baseball culture is? You don't get it, guys. This is what pitchers do. Yeah. They destroy things.
That was honestly pretty much the most exciting thing that happened.
Well, I mean, is that though? Seriously though, like looking back, I know we got an agenda, Luke. Give me 1 second though, because I want you to answer this also. What was the most memorable moment of the year?
I just said it.
No. So you're sticking with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
How what about was you? More memorable than that?
I have no idea. It didn't even take place in Fenway Park.
It became a blur. Like June was great.
Was it something off the field, as in Joe Castiglione getting the booth named after him?
Nope.
Didn't David Ortiz, like, didn't they do a whole ceremony with David Ortiz? Didn't that happen also?
I think that's the point, is that there was
nothing memorable.
No, there wasn't anything memorable. And one discussion, it started back in probably March and continued all season long, was, you know, the future of Xander Bogaerts. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I know a lot of people giving their opinions on it. And I'll just ask you, Christian, I'll start with you. Did Xander Bogaerts play his last game as a member of the Red Sox yesterday?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he did. Well, listen, if you're going to ask me to judge it based on what I've seen and heard the last 2 weeks, it was like this weird farewell tour. It was like everybody's like, he talks to Will Fleming.
We don't know that he didn't talk to Will Smith.
Will Smith is trying to get back into the spotlight. But he talks to Will, he starts tearing up. He starts getting choked up. He can't even think about it. Right? Will has that effect on people. And since then, it's been this whole, like, almost like, it's just been weird.
Yeah.
And even, because I feel like he thinks he's done. And you know, people around town feel like he's done. Because why would you spend so much time and energy, you know, and almost like bringing attention to it?
Because he could be.
But it's almost like he's, like, given up on the fact that he is going to be. Because if I thought I was going to come back, I wouldn't allow myself to get all choked up about the unknown. Oh, about my time here. Oh, I wouldn't even allow it.
Has he?
Yes. He did with Will.
He did it with Will.
You want to?
Rich Hill was crying. I know that.
You want to, like, we can play it again. I mean, it was. Yes, that's him.
Right? Megan, what do you think?
So I actually think what you're talking about, the emotions being ramped up around him, is more just playing towards him trying to get the upper hand in negotiations, because he's pretty sure that he's going to be asked to be back here at a more respectable rate, much more respectable than he was before the season started with that disrespectful offer that they made him. I feel like 70...
You think 70,
this is a game, then? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's all
you
a game.
You think Xander Bogaerts is playing the game?
Yes.
Really?
And I think when we hear some of the comments from him, he sat down with Rob Bradford yesterday before the game. We're going to hear kind of him admitting to wising up a little bit, understanding the way things work in this world a little bit more. And I feel 70% confident. I would say that's where I'm at. Between 70% and 80% that he's coming back.
Yeah, I'm going 90. Maybe 95. He's not going anywhere. He's coming back. And the reason is because of him. Like, he wants to come back here. I think if you're close, you're coming back. I think ownership realizes they got to bring him back. I think Chaim Bloom realizes they got to bring him back. And like I said, more importantly, Xander Bogaerts doesn't want to go anywhere. So the only issue, and I think the reason why you heard all the appreciation and Xander acknowledging it, because there is still an unknown. Like, there is an unknown. You know, you have no idea what's going to happen. You're a free agent. You're out there. I think they'll take care of it in the next month. But, you know, Scott Boras is a factor. Scott Boras has got Marcus Semien down there in Texas, 7 years, 175. That's his client. And he had, basically a career year up in Toronto, hit 45 home runs, I think. But for his career, Xander's been a better player than Marcus Semien. He's going to go to Xander and say, you can't take anything less than 7175. Like, it's got to be 8, you know. But I think that that's where Xander comes into play. And he's like, well, as long as they're close. I don't want to hear no 490 crap. You know, 7175. Like, that's what Semien is. The Red Sox come at 6 with an option. Does he stay? I think he does. Does it take 7? I don't know. But I don't think the kid wants to go anywhere. He has not once talked about the market. He has not once talking to the media mentioned, like, well, we'll see what the market dictates. We'll see when I hit
you
free
sure
agency.
About that?
No.
I don't think he's ever mentioned the market.
No, Christian, I think he's always
like he
just,
did.
The closest he came to was talking about other teams' ballparks.
Yeah, I like Wrigley.
Oh, isn't Wrigley cool with that tree that's growing on the side of the wall? I think is what he said.
Yeah.
Like, that's the... And we all went, whoa, is Xander going to go to Chicago?
Have you heard him say, I'm looking forward to testing free agency?
No, I do not recall that specifically. But I do recall...
How many times
did
Mookie say that?
But, I do recall him alluding to the idea of last time they got a hometown discount. Last time I took less than I should have because I didn't want to leave.
That was
a
different player.
I thought this was that whole line. I thought this is the time where he takes advantage of the market and he gets what he's really worth. He doesn't take less because he's too chicken to go play someplace else.
Christian, do you know he's going to take advantage of the circumstances? Because
what are the circumstances?
The circumstances are he is essentially, because of the way that the season played out, in the best case scenario for him to have an upper hand in this negotiation. And now they know he wants to be back. But if they had an outstanding season, then you could have sat there and said, well, look at all these pieces around Xander. It's not just Xander. Xander's 30. He's not the key to the future. Look at all these other great players. If they had moderate success, they would say, you know, well, we did it again this way. We should trust Bloom, his operation, the way that he builds rosters and the trades he made at the deadline. This all worked out. Let's give him another year, see him keep doing this formula. But how poorly the season went, and that Xander took off towards the end of the year, you point it and you go, we're going to talk about the attendance in the ballpark, which is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Embarrassingly low.
I think you hit on it.
Yeah.
I think you hit on it.
We need him.
If this team won 90 games, 92 games, and then a three seed or something, and won a series in the postseason and got to the next round, you could very easily, if you're Bloom, turn around, look at John Henry and say, it's working. Last year went to the ALCS. This year we won 92. Trust me, it's working. Let me just kind of do my thing. You know, and Bloom wouldn't have the heat. I think with the way the year went, there's no way you let that guy walk. I don't think they can let him walk. And that's why I say it's like 90% chance he's back.
Okay, so but you're basing it on this whole like
he wants
like PR. I mean, it seems like you're talking more PR. Like the Red Sox can't afford to let him go because there's too much negative attention. There's too much criticism.
That's a part of it.
Okay, and nobody's interested in the because you're not winning. But my thing is, like, I personally feel like as big as you are, no matter what you brought to that particular city or that team, if they replace you with somebody just as good, everybody forgets about that person, especially if you're winning. Because I'm like, all right, so fine. They lose Xander, they lose this guy. Do they replace him with just random dudes that have no power whatsoever, no swag whatsoever? A bunch of, like, you know, never done anything?
So
or do they actually replace him with stars who could play? Well, like, you're telling me you're interested? You wouldn't have any interest?
And I don't want to jump the gun on the conversation we're going to have in a couple minutes, but do you trust Chaim Bloom to replace him? Not only with somebody who is going to have the same power that Xander has, but that's going to be able to fit into the locker room and embrace the Boston media and everything, because that is something that I think we overblow with some teams, but I don't think it's overblown when you're on the Red Sox.
The thing is like what you're talking about, guys better than him, if you want to go, if you think Correa and Trey Turner are better, it's going to cost so much more money to sign those guys than it is Xander Bogaerts.
But like, do you think that they're better long-term?
I can't say that. I have
no
idea.
What's long-term? 3 years?
I love Trey Turner.
You're talking 6 years, whatever, 175, and I'm like, all right, he's already 30 years old. I'm like, all right, what are you really going to get out of him? 3 years of a consistent play.
Dansby Swanson's the lower-level shortstop out of the four of them. And I'd be willing to bet you if you re-sign Xander, he gives you such a deal that Dansby Swanson will make more money.
So you keep saying he gives you such a deal.
That's what I mean. There's two sides.
He may be the easiest person to sign in the history of Red Sox.
Yeah, the Red Sox are feeling pressure because of how the year went, and they don't want to, you know, they can't let him walk. And more importantly, Xander doesn't want to go. I don't think he wants to test reach. I think he wants to go to a room.
I
think he wants to get a phone call, and he wants them to make a competitive offer. He wants to say yes and get on with his freaking winner at the beach. Like, that's what I think he wants. I want to play Xander Bogaerts because Rob Bradford caught up with him on the Bradfoe show.
Yay, baseball.
And they had a lot of these discussions about the future of this is Xander Bogaerts with Rob.
Yes or no answers. Ready? We're going to go through the questions, which basically everyone
Wait, hold
asks.
On. So
okay?
he sets, Rob sets like the rules.
That Can I just
what's
say,
what's dumb?
That's also,
wrong?
I love you. I love you, Rob.
You're my
even
boss.
Though you crack the whip on me every Wednesday. I don't think that that's a good rule to set when you're trying to get an athlete to open up. Only
now,
yes or no.
Yes,
I'm with you.
The first rule in journalism school is ask an open-ended question so somebody talks themselves into something interesting.
We want quotes, Rob. Like, what are we going to say? This is Xander with Rob Bradford? Yes. No. Yes. No. Like,
yes, no.
What interviewer ever says just yes or no? No,
yes
do
or
not
no.
explain yourself. Like, what? All right, go ahead, continue. Hopefully,
yes or no
answer. More than yes
ready?
Or no.
This is we're going to go through the questions,
yes
which
no.
basically everyone asks. Okay.
Okay.
Have they approached you about a contract this year, during the season?
No. Okay. Stop. Do not get into it anymore. Just say no. Don't tell me if you're upset. Don't say anything. Just say no. Good job. All right, you're following the rules so far. Continue.
Contract this year, during the season.
No.
Are you upset that they did or didn't?
Oh.
Yes.
Ooh, it's
you would like. You would like to. You could say, you could use more than one word if you like.
Okay, I wouldn't have mine.
That's a good answer. If I told you now that you would be sitting here now without any talks, would that have surprised you?
It's one word.
I'm not surprised. No.
Okay.
I'm not.
The last one is, as they sit here, is it difficult? And listen, I mean, it's a business. We get it. Is it difficult to imagine yourself playing in a different uniform?
I mean, it's difficult, you know, just because of you're only playing here for your whole career, you know. But, I mean, if it comes to that, it's definitely a different challenge. And, you know, I mean, I'm much more grown now than when I was a couple years back.
You know the world. The
yeah,
world.
I've experienced.
It would probably have been a lot different, like, in 2019. Like,
yeah, a lot.
Yeah, you would like, I can't imagine myself in a different uniform.
It would have been a lot, especially we were having some really good years.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
leading up to that point, and obviously stuff have been a little tougher lately. But the city, the baseball here in general, it's tough to beat.
So, yeah, to me, it doesn't sound like a guy that wants to go anywhere. Like, it just doesn't want to go anywhere. I know, he doesn't want to go anywhere. I know he wants to retire here. Like, I know it. And I don't think it's going to take, you know, the highest offer to get him here.
Okay, so to me, it's a terrible negotiation tactic. It's a terrible negotiation tactic.
He's not trying to negotiate. He just wants a fair deal to come back.
So nothing has changed. That's fine. Listen, you do what's best for you. I get it. But he will take less.
Quick aside, do you like negotiating?
Do I?
Yeah, yes. Some people love negotiating. Yes. Like, I was a year ago, I was going to buy a car, and Tom Kern called me, and he was like, do you want me to come with you? I love buying cars. I love haggling for car prices. I was like, no.
Yeah. A little sticker in the butt.
No, but and it's like, Tyler just brought this point up. Like, he's constantly talked about why he wants to be here. He wants to be here. See, when Mookie left, everyone's like, you know, there was a side that was, he doesn't want to play here.
Yeah.
Screw him. He doesn't want to play here. This guy has never said he doesn't. This guy, as a matter of fact, has come out publicly and privately that he wants to stay here. He wants to retire here. So there's no excuse if you happen to lose this guy.
All right. I'd like to change my answer.
Let's get more into it.
I'd like to change my answer.
I do have to say, Rob Bradford just texted me. You're always listening. Always listening. He said, we did it that way, the yes-no questions, because we had just asked these same questions a week ago. It was to get to fan questions with a short amount of time.
Can I get a hallelujah, everybody out there?
Well, just clarifying.
Good. I know. The one answer we got into wasn't a yes or no. So we want more. I need quotes. We need to talk about them. All right, listen, when we come back, there was a press conference held down there at Fenway Park. Chaim Bloom was asked about Xander Bogaerts in the future here. And I want to read back some of those quotes we used yesterday on Alex Cora. He's putting some pressure on this front office in the offseason. We'll continue to talk Red Sox, Maloney, Fourier, and Mego. It's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Would your preference be to stay in Boston when all is said and done?
My preference? I mean, Boston is an amazing city, man. I mean, if winning is priority, I mean, why not?
But when it comes to Xander, my educated opinion on this situation is that he doesn't want to go anywhere.
Xander, Frank Thomas here.
Big Hurt.
And I want to say this with respect, because I love your game. You're the most underrated superstar.
And Bogarts in a Cardinals uniform would look pretty good.
Don't you think, though, Cutter, that if Xander is that guy, your team is totally different?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's kind of the heartbeat of the team, you know.
Did you happen to catch the re-signed Xander chance?
Yeah, I heard it.
What's that mean to you?
I mean, if I struck out, it wouldn't help my cause.
Free agents and guys going through some contract situation. Red Sox, I got some love for y'all.
Find the money!
It is Chris Sale.
I'm just going to say it. We got to keep Bogey. We got to.
This is all I know. You know, I'm very, very thankful for everyone that has helped me, you know, be the player that I am today.
Here's a nice moment now. Xander Bogaerts is going to come out of the game. He shakes hands with Laz Diaz, the second base umpire, hugged Christian Arroyo. The fans who are here give him a standing ovation, and Xander Bogaerts tips his cap, puts his cap over his heart. Xander Bogaerts, we hope this is not goodbye.
Well done, Tyler. Xander Bogaerts, did he play his last game as a member of the Boston Red Sox? Curious your reaction. At 617-779-7937. Well, today they had a press conference. Brian O'Halloran, Chaim Bloom, Sam Kennedy, Alex Cora. We'll get to who was missing. But I want to play Chaim Bloom. I think the question was from Rob Bradford, actually. Is signing Xander in the offseason your number one priority?
You said Xander, you know, that process starts right away. Would you say that he's your number one priority as the offseason starts?
Yeah. I mean, just because of the timing of his free agency. Obviously, until we get after the World Series, there's a lot of other things that we can plan for but not do. This is something we can work on right away.
Do you hope to get a deal done before he can opt out?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's no different from where we've been. Our position hasn't changed on that. I know, you know, I've said this before, and nothing I say really matters unless there's a deal. But our position's been the same, that we want to keep him here for a long time. We want him here on a deal that, you know, we're going to look back on and say this is great for everybody. You know, we see what happens. We just got to the end of one of those with JD, and I think everybody, can feel that one worked out for everybody involved, and we want to build around him and win with him.
Did he just say we just got to the end of one with JD?
Yeah, JD's his contract's up.
Because he had a lot to do with that, right?
That's true.
Okay, but, yeah, it's a very good point.
It does, like, oh, yay.
Hey, listen, we just finished one. It's like, yeah, nothing to do with that one.
Bother me, because he still, even today, he talked about how, you know, we still want to make the good baseball move and find a deal that's good for everybody. How many times you get assigned a pitcher or a player in, like, free agency that's good for everybody?
Hey, you're always going to pay up the nose.
Yeah, it's never good for you. It's good for you because you have talent. You have a talented player, but financially, I don't know of a free agent contract that's actually good for you.
Like, you know, we're going to look back on it, you know, and say, I mean, this is great for everybody.
No, it's just going to be great for the player. It might be good for you because Xander's willing to take less. That's why you might think it's good for you. But if you want to go get like a stud in this rotation, pretty sure it's going to be an uncomfortable contract that you might look at and say, this is not a good deal for us. However, I got a stud in my rotation for the next 3 or 4 years.
You know what else is good? Is finding that diamond in the rough.
Oh, please don't do it.
That unknown, you know, player that everybody has given up on.
So they would have to pay for, I don't know, like a Noah Syndergaard or a Carlos Rodon.
Those deals
like,
won't be good for them financially.
Oh, no way.
No, I mean, Aaron Judge hit 62 home runs. Whoever signs him ain't going to be good for them financially. I mean, you got the good player. He'll kick your ass for the next 5 or 6 years. But financially, at some point, you're going to sit there and say, that ain't good for us. So it still worries me that his deep to the core, this is how he feels about it. Still yes. How about a trade? Still going to be a good baseball trade for both teams.
I want to make sure everybody wins.
You know, we're going to look back on it and say this is great for everybody.
That kind of worries me a little bit.
Wait, why doesn't he want to, like, make some other GM look like an idiot? Why doesn't he want to take advantage of some poor GM who's a novice and doesn't know what they're doing? Isn't that what's best for the Red Sox?
Isn't that what Danny Ainge did forever?
And just thinking, like, that's why people stopped trading with him, because he kept fleecing them and pantsing them, making them look stupid.
Well, your guy might be the novice one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that's
the
problem.
He is the novice one.
Then you're only going to sign
people.
This is
his first time in this job.
Well, but not really. I mean, this is his third year.
I know, but this is his first stint, is what I'm saying.
Okay, but how many years have to go by?
We all disregard 2020 with
COVID,
right?
Okay, so he's on year two.
Yeah.
He just finished year two.
And it's the biggest one he has.
Okay,
his job is not easy, I will admit that, you know, because he needs frontline pitcher. He needs a closer, a couple more bullpen arms. He needs to re-sign Bogarts or figure that out. He needs to sign an outfielder with Pop. Wait, he needs to sign a DH. I mean, it's not an easy job.
Isn't his job?
He's got a lot of stuff to fix.
Isn't his job easier than most teams based on the amount of money and resources that the ownership would give them? So, listen, I get it's a difficult job. It's high leverage. It's stressful. But I don't know. I feel like they give you like every advantage.
The contract situation, like, he doesn't opt out until, like, what was it, like, so 3 days after the World Series, free agency starts or whatever, people opt out. So he can now continue to talk starting today with Xander Bogaerts and rip up that extension. That's what he's talking about. And that's what he should do. He's already secured a guy like Kike Hernandez. He's versatile. He could play center field. He could move around, whatever. You sign Xander Bogaerts here in the next month before free agency starts. And you can look out and say, I got Cassis, I got Story, I got Xander, I got Devers. That's where I'm looking at right now. That's a pretty good start. I got Kike and Verdugo. Okay, you need a starting point. There's a lot of holes, a lot of things to be fixed. So lock down the guy that kind of settles everything. Because if you lose Xander, now you're just sitting there going, okay, now what? Can Story play short? Can Kike play short?
Do Christian I need to sign Arroyo a short play stuff? Every day?
Yeah, like it's just chaos if you don't do it. Got to do it.
All right, so honest to God, then Xander Bogaerts is like the catalyst of all this stuff. Don't do anything until you sign him. If he is like if he sets the tone, if he's like, you know, the anchor of this whole thing,
yeah,
and he's willing to take less, I feel like this should be one of the easiest negotiations they've ever had. He wants to stay. He's willing to take less. He's done it before. He'll do it again.
I think both sides.
I feel like I changed my answer.
Both sides want to make it work, but I'm wondering how much crow Bloom is willing to eat. Like, I don't think he's going to have to eat that much. But going from the position that they started in before the season with that offensive offer that he gave to Xander, like, I'm wondering if things have gotten bad enough for him in the place that he's in with the Red Sox that he's looking at this and going, yeah, I got it. I screwed that.
What his issue is going to be is, so Boris, his agent, will do the right thing because that's what his job. You know, I got to give you all offers. If Boris comes up and says, listen, these guys, it's an extra $40 million in your pocket. Just throwing out a number. Like that.
Just say Phillies, Dombrowski. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, so it's Dombrowski. It's an extra $40 million in your pocket.
Yeah.
Like, can't you fall in love with Philly? Like, Philly's a great town.
Yes. It smells
City
like pee.
City of brotherly love. It's got the Rocky statue.
No, smells like pee. No, and I feel like we don't talk about that.
That's Detroit.
But that's the kind of money you're talking about turning down, like yes. 25 to 30, and if it gets to 40, whatever. But the other thing he can do, too, is I think calm things down with Rafi Devers by signing Xander Bogaerts. Like, to me, I sign Xander Bogaerts.
Trust us.
And I don't extend Devers. I said on TV, people went nuts the other day on Monday night, but I would not. I would just play the thing out. You know, if you re-sign Bogaerts, now Xander looks at Rafi and says, listen, I know they messed with me, they messed with you, they gave us these crappy offers and extension deal, but you know, when push came to shove, they gave me what I wanted, and now I'm back here. They're still the Boston Red Sox. They paid me to come back here. So you go do your business, and they'll offer you one, because I think the window to re-sign, give an extension to Devers and Bogaerts, as we saw, is gone. Like, no one's going to settle with 1 year left of free agency. You know, like, Devers is not going to settle. He had a bad year. He's not going to settle for what they want to give him right now. He would rather go out there and prove he had kind of a monster year. And then, hey, and the Red Sox should sit there and say, we're the freaking Red Sox. I'm not afraid to pay you if you have a great year. But there's going to be no extension for Devers. Hopefully they re-sign Bogaerts. And Rafi can sit there and say, you know, Xander could tell him, just go have your year, just like they did with me. And when the push comes to shove, they'll bring you back. And I think it just calms the waters down with Devers. I wouldn't re-sign him in the offseason.
Christian Devers is going to bet on himself.
He will.
It's your new favorite thing.
He will.
Guys who bet big on themselves.
Well, if you needed some sort of like inspiration, I mean, Aaron Judge did it.
All Rise.
I mean, he doesn't have a cool nickname. That's the one thing Devers is missing. Lamar Jackson Raffy? Is doing right now.
Maybe we could start playing like Raffy children's songs.
Bet on himself.
No. Nah, Ryan says no. I was going to say yes, but
nobody
Ryan
asked
no.
Ryan. So I asked
think,
you.
So think about it. If you're willing to pay market value for your player, like I think the Yankees will, why would you pay it the year before? Like, why would you pay it? Like, you know what I mean? Aaron Judge, you know, look, you're like, listen, if he has we offer him 7 and 215. If he has a great year and he's looking for, you know, 10 and 300 or whatever it is, we'll pay it. But why should I offer that now when I'm willing to pay it at the end of the year? And if you sign Xander, all these people that call in, they're like, they lost Mookie. And look, they lost Xander. What are you going to say about Devers? Actually, you know, you would sit there and say, well, listen, everybody was screaming and yelling all season long about Xander. They actually re-signed him when push came to shove. Relax.
And is it,
they're not going to let Devers go either, which I don't think they will. I just don't think there's an extension coming for him.
I do think that people have they really love comparing Mookie Betts and Xander, where I think the two are so far apart. So, and I would say Devers is probably more like, and I hate bringing this name, but John Lester. He's probably similar to John Lester. Wants to stay, didn't want to leave.
Devers or Xander?
Xander is similar to John Lester because you give him a low offer, he doesn't take it, he gets a better deal someplace else, that whole thing. Grew up in the system, he was a Warrior. I mean, just everything you wanted. And you hear that a lot. Like, they learned their lesson with John Lester.
Yeah. To your point, there was also that reporting that we've brought up time and time again from the All-Star break when we heard that Mookie essentially told Xander, like, hey, when it comes down to it, do what's best for you.
Right.
Do what's best for you.
We also said everyone's different.
Yeah. And if you and your family, and if you want to be in Boston, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter to go get, I mean, this is Mookie saying this and kind of trying to translate what he was saying here. If it's going to be like tens of millions of dollars more to be somewhere you don't want to be,
yeah,
like, he's different. He's not Mookie. Yeah. He wants to be here.
I think he is. And it's a bad comparison with Mookie too, you know, because, you know, he's just talked about testing free agency every single time he opened his mouth about it. And Xander has never said it, you know. But you mentioned, like I was talking about Judge. Like, Judge is going to sign a monster contract. Remember Devers early in the year, don't compare me to anybody. And we said he's comparing himself to, like, the greatest hitter in the game, whatever. Maybe you think it's Juan Soto who's having a down year, whatever. But Aaron Judge's contract, Devers can't sit there and say, I deserve that. The dude hit 62, going for triple crown, just came shy of it. Like, so it's like you can compare.
But I'm younger.
You can think there's no comp, but you can't compare yourself to Aaron Judge. And quite frankly, he ain't Mookie either. He's never. Last I checked, he's never won an MVP. Last I checked, he's never been runner-up to MVP.
Not a gold glove third baseman.
He's not a gold glove third baseman. So I would say, rather than pay this guy $30, $35 million, take his $18 in arbitration, take the $15 million you don't spend this offseason, improve your ball club this year, and if he has a great season, because this one wasn't, then you sign him to whatever contract the market says, and you just bring Devers back. But he's going to be a lot better if he thinks he's going to get the kind of money I think he wants next year. So make him play for it. It's a business, just like you did with Bogarts. And if he has a good year, you pay him. It's no big deal. I don't mind at all. Let's get to Alex Cora. Because yesterday we had read some quotes that Cora said pregame I thought were very, very interesting. Today we have that sound. Just getting Alex Cora kind of summing up at the end of the year what it was like for him.
Going home on Monday is going to feel weird. Right now it feels weird. You know, the whole signing autographs on the road because everybody's going to take their jerseys or helmets, whatever. I really don't like it in October. I hate it now in September, you know, and it's too early for all that stuff. But, hey, you learn from it. You know, it's not, you know, hopefully it's the last one. And hopefully we can be in contention next year all the way to the end. Just to be there all the way to the end is a good feeling. This one, I really hate it. I don't like it. I know the family, they know it too. You know, it's not that they're happy we're going home, but hey, we deserve to go home. And like I said before, we're going to push hard in this offseason to get it right. We know we play in the toughest division in baseball, but at the same time, we understand that we should be a lot better. And I've been thinking about next year for a while. A lot of watching, a lot of thinking, a lot of questions the last month. And you know, the plan is in place from my end. You know, one of the things that I really want is a sense of urgency. You know, it's something that as an organization, we've done it throughout the years, and we have to push hard in the offseason. You know, the message, you know, it's going to be now. I love the future. You know, we love the past. We don't like this past, right? But I think living in the present and pushing hard is something that we're going to talk a lot. You know, I think that's something that it pushes you to be great. And it's not that we didn't do it this year, but I think the message should be louder.
So we're going to push hard in the offseason. They got to sign players.
You got to push hard. There's got to be a sense of urgency now. It's got to be now. So I don't know how you read into that, Mego, Lou. I'm not sure how you guys read into it, but I just heard. I feel like this is 100% directed at Chaim Bloom. And I don't think I can remember another time where a head coach, manager, whatever you want to call it, the leader of the organization, of the players, has ever publicly called out a GM. Like, I can't remember it. I can't remember a time where a manager or a coach has basically said, you're not doing enough, make better decisions, don't overthink it, Like, we're ready to win now. What we saw last year was an embarrassment, and don't do it again. Like, that to me is what he said, which is like, which I think is a little brave, to be honest with you.
I think he was actually, I would say he was attacking Himes' philosophy this year in that he said the message is now. We love the future, but we're living in the present. He's essentially saying we need to focus on the major league club right now. Like, we love the future. We love the idea of these prospects coming up and investing in that, and that's been great and everything. But the message needs to be louder. He says we need to focus on getting players to this club and spending money on the players keep them here in this club, not in Portland, not in Worcester, not in Greenville. That's great. Like, yeah, we'll bring all those guys up, but it's been neglected.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think when we first heard it yesterday, then I thought more about it. I'm like, I don't think Alex is saying these things publicly. I think he said them privately before, but I don't think he's saying them publicly without having this exact conversation with Chaim Bloom. Like, I don't think Bloom heard this and was like, Jesus, Alex, wow, you want us to be, I don't know where this is coming from, because I don't plan on having any urgency. I don't plan on going nuts in the offseason. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's already had this conversation with Chaim, and the both of them are in agreement that they need urgency and they need to be aggressive in the offseason, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? I don't think this is rogue. I don't think this is rogue. I think he's already sat down with Bloom and said everything, and they agree with everything he said yesterday.
See, I look at it and I go, you may be right, but I don't think Cora likes Bloom at all. I don't think he likes him at all. I don't think he likes his philosophy. I think he's a little fed up with it. I think he's tired of it. I think he doesn't have any patience for it. You know, and I was almost going to cut him some slack. I'm like, yeah, you know, he is in the best division in baseball. And like, I was like, you're the only team that's not making the playoffs. Like, everybody else is like, you know, do something in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So I that's how I feel about it. Like, enough's enough. But even if you've had that discussion, Lou, it feels like a passive-aggressive public dig where, okay, well, I know we had this discussion in private, but I'm going to put you on blast
publicly.
Oh, yeah. To hold you to it,
yeah.
So you can't change your mind.
I would say it's not passive aggressive. I would say it's upfront. Yeah. Passive aggressive would be calling Alex Spear or somebody and saying hey, this is how it is, and you can attribute it to a source close to the club. Instead, he's just airing it out there.
And I'm looking at a tweet here too. By the way, when it comes to John Henry and this, how aggressive they're going to be in the offseason, when I give you these numbers as far as how attendance was this year, that should tell you how aggressive they're going to be. And we know, not sure if it was Xander Bogaerts last day, but we do know that it was Dennis Eckersley's. And it's been a great week. We'll hear a little bit of how this whole thing ended with the great Eck leaving the booth. We'll do it all next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Our careers have been intertwined, and from a personal note, I'm going to miss you so much, but we'll be in touch, and we'll see you on the West Coast and here when you come back for the Legends Box.
Yeah, you guys, it's in my heart, man. I carry this place with me.
Well, it sounded like pregame the other night, and of course yesterday. I don't know. Red Sox fans, obviously no one's watching. I've actually watched the last two or three nights just because I thought Dave O'Brien and Dennis Eckersley up in the booth were fantastic. Telling stories. He was emotional for 3 days. It wasn't just yesterday. Like, 3 days ago, he was emotional in the booth talking about it. And I think, you know, he's going to be missed. He's fantastic. I think he makes it entertaining. You know, I think people in Boston, like, always talk about, like, color commentators and announcers all the time. They have this, like, weird
obsession with being critical of it. Yes, you're right.
It's really weird. It's like, I remember when X started, we had people calling up saying, I can't stand this guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't shut up. That's all he talks about. I remember Don Orsello and Jerry Rummy, people hated them because they never talked about baseball. They hated them. People call it all the time. Fun. See it on Twitter. It's like, just talk baseball. I hate these two. Or Settle leaves, and it's like, stupidest mistake the Red Sox ever made. It's like, dude, you're complaining about it. So it's like, I don't know what you want. I think when Eck leaves, they'll bring somebody in, it'll be fine. But
there'll
Eckersley,
be 10 people.
Yeah, Eckersley, who knows? Eckersley made it entertaining. He is fantastic and a great human being.
You talk about a no-name lineup. There's no team like this. Love to see some of the service time. You add it all up. It's not much.
I think he is the best play-by-play. I'm sorry, he's the best color analyst in any sport. I think he's the best. Like, and so how do you judge it? Well, you obviously want to be informed, you know, if someone's going to allow you, you know, explain things to you the right way and the right timing. But ultimately, it's entertaining. Like, he's so unbelievably, one, he's great at what he does, and he's entertaining. To have both, I think is phenomenal. I don't know where you sit with it. I enjoy listening to him more than anything. Any
this is a
players?
Hodgepodge of nothingness.
It's fantastic.
And the honesty is just so in your face. It's like, oh, geez, should I say this? Most guys wouldn't say it. They wouldn't be comfortable saying it. Maybe they feel like they're going to get fired. He didn't give a crap.
Mm.
So maybe that's why it was so good.
We'd love to have more people with like the give a crap factor right place.
Zero.
Like, give a crap about the job, but don't give a crap about what people think. Like, whatever. Yeah. Just be you.
And it got him in a little bit of trouble.
Just say what you see.
And he was criticized. Well, I mean, obviously the David Price stuff being, you know.
Oh.
Like, I'm just saying, in the locker room.
Everybody was on X side.
He was a legend.
That's a lot of the color guys.
I would say it got David Price into trouble.
Travel with these guys. They spend a lot of time with these guys. They're in the locker room. They become friends with them. Eck pretty much made a rule. He ain't going in the locker room. And there was criticism for that. It's like, oh, you never come in here.
Yeah, how do you know?
You know, you don't know us. You know this. You just go up there and talk a bunch of trash. But like you said, it's easier. You know, you can just give your opinion, which is what the fans want. It might piss off the players, but, you know, I mean, color guys, they're homers.
And I'll tell you what, this guy has got nothing. He's got nothing to get Martinez out of.
He's got nothing to begin with.
But it wasn't just opposing players. But you know what I mean? Like, most color guys want to be friends with the players.
Yeah.
Want to be friends with the organization.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he just was. But they also understood that, you know, he wasn't going to get too close because he would shred you if he had to.
I don't know how many pitches we've seen outside soft. Changeups away, 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 away. It's like nothing but ugliness away.
I feel like the fantastic. Only other...
I love it.
In any sport, the only other color guy that I feel as much like the excitement level when I know that they're calling the game is like Jeff Van Gundy. And it's because, similarly, he doesn't give a crap. He'll be like, what is this?
Yeah.
This is horrible. You know, this is offensive to basketball.
Right. He reminds me, he's got some John Madden in him, for me. Like, as far as football goes, guys that can call a game and give you some personality and, you know, just be entertaining, it's John Madden.
But the uniqueness, those guys are national guys.
Mm-hmm.
So Van Gundy will shred you, it's no big deal. You're talking about a local...
Yeah.
Analyst that does half the games or more or whatever, just, you know, sitting there saying, Jesus, this guy. You know what I mean?
Where
you know?
Is Phillips? Where is Phillips? What happened to the runner?
He is out.
And it's, these guys are sensitive. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to look in the mirror. Like, you know, now granted, he doesn't play with any of these guys, but I want to play just X final words on Nesson because it was great. The video they played I thought was fantastic. This was Dennis Eckersley, the end of the Red Sox game last night.
Thank you, Boston. Thank you, New England, for having me, you know, forever in my heart. And I'll be back. But this is a special, special day, and I will never, ever forget it. Thank you, Red Sox. Thank you very much. And Nesson and all the gang. Have a good one. I will.
Just a good dude. My rookie year, he was a teammate of mine, 98. That was his last year playing. As a matter of fact, the night I hit my first home run was his last major league save. He saved that game.
Really?
But he's just a good dude, man. Again, like I've said it before, like just on a bus ride or a flight one time, I actually remember talking to him about 1978. Like, he played in 1978, the Bucky Dent game. He was on that team. In 1998, I'm talking to my teammate who played in that game.
Not a coach.
No. And it was awesome. It was awesome.
I mean, this is acid right here. What is going on?
He's the most unique, like, just true, honest, genuine guy, and he's going to be missed. He's
I mean, I can't believe he's done. I mean, I thought maybe lighten it up, do postseason, a little bit of that, just to kind of keep it, you know, keep yourself active. Because he used to do... postseason for like TNT, right? He used
yeah,
to do a bunch
I'd
of postseason
still have to do
games.
Postseason because he's still, I mean, you know, those playoffs, man, they, pre and post. They bring guys in that don't do baseball all year long. They just bring them in guys because they're Hall of Famers.
Pete Rose didn't know anything.
Oh, he's terrible.
You know, Frank Thomas, it's like, oh, God.
Maybe he'll throw him his burner.
Bring in guys that actually do it like throughout the year. You know what I mean? Great. Like, that's really what you should be doing. Yeah. But, you know, they don't. I think
he turns his burner over
a lot earlier.
It's a little sinkage.
But I actually just forgot. Dan Orlovsky, our guy who didn't join us yesterday because it was a short Red Sox game, he's going to join us next as well. Tom Curran later on at 4:30. But I'm looking forward to talking to Dan Orlovsky like we do every single week. We will talk to him. That is coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.